It's like, if anybody's ever had a tire that has...
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready. The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program. Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply. It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. It's a new week, but the agenda stays the same, to build a world of superhumans, one person at a time. During the first hour, we're going to be joined by Dr. Craig Banks and Jimmy Bluff to talk about manual therapies as an aid to building more muscle mass. This could potentially be the big secret that some of the strongest, most muscular people on the planet keep to themselves. Then, during the 1 o'clock hour, we're going to be joined all the way from the UK by Dr. Charles Spence to talk about eating environments and food behavior. You know, that plate you're eating off of may influence how much you eat, much more than you think, and it's not all about the size of the plate. Now, we're going to talk about that during the second hour. So let's get started. Dr. Craig Banks, how are you?
I'm good. How about yourself, Carl?
Fantastic. For those of you who remember, Dr. Banks was a strong sponsor of Superhuman Radio with his Phoenix Kinetic Cream. Lots of people used the product and saw amazing results. I still use it today on my old 56-year-old carcass. Great stuff. And we're being joined by Jimmy Bluff. How you doing, Jimmy?
Incredible. A real pleasure to be here.
Yeah, this is going to be a really great interview. So, you know, a lot of people are always looking for the next supplement, right? They'll drop big money on something that somebody says, oh, this will add 3 pounds of muscle, 6 pounds of muscle, something that is really overlooked. And when you start digging down into some of the greatest bodybuilders of all time, some of the greatest physical culturists of all time, you find out that they were regular devotees of manual therapies like massage and even more systematic chiropractic work to not just to alleviate pains, but to actually stimulate muscle growth. Who wants to jump in on this first? Well, let me do this. Dr. Banks, let me just turn to Jimmy, because this is something I didn't know about.
Yeah.
Jimmy, you've worked with Jay Cutler, right?
I've worked with Jay Cutler, Kevin English, Branch, Flex Lewis. I mean, you name it. I've spent plenty of weekends with guys, Sestrinino. And, you know, and you want to talk about muscle mass. I knew in school they taught you a little bit about opening the tissue up and so on and so forth. And, you know, it was interesting after working on Kevin English, I had a lot of naysayers who, you know, never experienced my work, but just didn't believe what I had to say or what my client testimonies had to say, which is always fun. I'm learning when you get some strong opposition when you're doing something right. And, you know, Kevin English said, you know, Jimmy, I think you put like at least an inch on my legs. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. He's like, no, I think that first session literally put an inch on my quads, just cause these guys, as they age and as that tissue hardens up with holding patterns and severe training trauma over so many years, they almost lose the ability to contract and squeeze that tissue because that fascia is so freaking tight. So by simply lengthening out a lot of that fascial tissue and creating not only more separation but the ability for that muscle to breathe, his legs just opened right up. I mean, it was pretty exciting. So, yeah, to answer your question, I had the opportunity. I put about, I'd say probably 24 hours in Jay on two separate occasions last year, you know, about 6 to 8 weeks out before the Olympia. It was cool because, you know, he's always been a huge idol of mine. So to be working with him was pretty awesome.
So Dr. Banks, now we're talking about massage therapy there, but we can even become a little bit more, laser focused when we start talking about some of the chiropractic maneuvers as well, right?
Sure, because what a lot of people don't tend to realize is that chiropractic really doesn't have a lot to do with the bones. The reason why we work so much with the spine and even the extremity joints is to affect the neurology. of it. Okay, and you know, your nervous system's going to control absolutely everything in your body, and that's going to affect the way you're able to not only work out, but as well as recover, you know, so you can actually grow and increase muscle hypertrophy.
Well, and let's stay with that for a second. So a lot of times we'll see professional bodybuilders who step up on a high-level competition stage like the Olympia or the Arnold, and someone will go, wow, look at the left side of his back. It's like, what happened to it? And they'll say, oh, he's got some nerve problem. So innervation of the muscle is not only critical to activate the muscle, but to keep the muscle from shrinking, right?
Absolutely, especially post-injury. So, I mean, many people, you know, remember Ronnie Coleman had his back that one time, his back, his lat was not flaring as much, and I know that he's a guy who's regularly getting adjusted during his Olympia runs, and that was something that kind of helped to bring him back. Jay's leg at one point.
Yeah, his one quad started to shrink. I remember that.
Yeah.
Jimmy, yeah,
about
Jimmy,
12 hours in that. No, I literally, it was like a Jenga puzzle, man. It was incredible. I mean, his waist was, or his leg was like the size of my waist, and I remember him screaming at one point, holy crap, you got the strongest hands in the world, and I was like, can someone please turn on a video recorder around here? Can you say that again? You know, but he's got, you know, probably a dozen guys in his incredible team, so it was just rad just to be one of them, but yeah, we disassembled that leg, I mean, literally fiber by fiber, insertion to origin, and he was like a little kid. I had him off the side of the table, and I'm like, now squeeze both quads. And just from the work we did, you know, if you've seen any of my videos, that muscle volumizes and separates, and we you can actually feel it, you know, open up again. He was like looking back and forth like he didn't believe it. It was really rad. I haven't had a chance to speak to him since, but yeah, I think he's terrified of me at this point after that 12-hour weekend. It was pretty nuts.
That's funny. So now, Dr. Banks, does this have to be a Rolfing session, or can it be more gentle? Are we actually causing trauma to the muscle, and that in and of itself helps the muscle kind of recover?
You know, Jimmy might be able to explain his technique a little bit better than obviously I
can.
So I will tell you that I just experienced it a couple weeks ago up in New York right after the New York Pro. And, I mean, he's phenomenal. And his particular technique is unlike any type of massage that you're going to normally experience. I mean, he's absolutely carving out the tissue. And, you know, he describes it, and it's pretty accurate, as like surgery without the knife. So I'll let Jimmy kind of jump in on
that. Now, Jimmy, is this something you came up with on your own? Did you create this program?
You know, I originally, you know, wanted to be a physical therapist and went and did my generals at University of Utah. Then I jumped into a really intense program out at Utah College Massage Therapy. So I learned the basics of it. And then I just kind of, I'd say over 20, 30, 40,000 hours, just kind of developed something just completely different. Because I've been a bodybuilder. I'm still sitting around 265, 270 at 6'3", and I've done shows, so I understand sleep patterns and how it works with a lot of these big guys, because I've put 100 pounds on since high school, you know, so it's interesting. My technique, what I try to do, instead of digging into the body with force or knuckles, I almost try to come across the tissue to create the least amount of pain or trauma, and because I'm opening up, you know, so much blood flow from the inside out and not really trying to traumatize the surface. You know, some people are just black and blue and they've got almost like abrasions on their skin, and that's not the point. The point to me was always to figure out, how can I break up this crazy fibrotic, you know, 2,000 pounds of tensile strength, literally fiberglass-like tissue, because if we can release that, then these bodybuilders can grow into their body, not grow through their body like they have been, you know what I mean? So believe it or not, I almost relate most bodybuilders' issues to sleep patterns.
Because repetitive motions are one thing. Because they're laying there for 8 hours at a time?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. You put a guy in his side and turn his thumb down, which everyone that's probably listening is probably, oh, crap, that's me. You know, or they have their arms, they lay over their head. I'm working with this incredible athlete, Jeff Lader, and I'm begging him. I'm like, dude, I'm gonna murder you this year unless we can fix your sleep patterns. He used to sleep with his arms over his head, and It was about a month ago. He's like, Jimmy, I just did a cold measure. He's like, you realize we put 2 inches on my friggin' arms this year. And I attribute it to half of it to literally keeping that blood flow open throughout the night. And I know a lot of guys sleep on their back, and that's a good thing. But a lot of them want to elevate their elbows and shove their, you know, shoulders in a protracted position. I'm like, no. You tuck those shoulders back, palms up. Because otherwise, man, you get a 23-inch arm and a 300-pound dude, good luck feeling your fingers. And obviously the swelling that's caused from some of the science guys are using as well makes it even worse with the pressure in there. So I think a lot of sleep patterns, absolutely.
You know,
I
had to break myself of sleeping with my arms over my head because I started to develop shoulder problems and tingling in my hands. So what I did,
the muscles just shortened.
Yeah, I took a belt and put it around after I put my PJ bottoms on. I took a belt and put it on me, and I took a rope that was long enough for both arms to come up to my like parallel, like a bird, perpendicular, but not any higher than that. And that's how I broke myself because I would try to pick my arm up in my sleep, and it would go back down because the rope wouldn't let it go.
That's awesome.
That's how I broke myself up. My shoulders were in terrible condition from sleeping with my arms over my head.
Yeah, he's right. That's probably one of the most common things I actually see in my office is impingement syndrome, and you start shortening the fibers of the trap. Once that happens, you're going to be more likely to fire with the trap, which then elevates the scapula. Once that scapula is elevated, it then cannot rotate. So when you do bring your arm up over your head, you actually start running your humerus into your rotator cuff tendons, causing chronic tendonitis. It does cause, obviously, the blood flow issue. And, you have to really change that muscle firing pattern, then even during your workout, because your trap becomes dominant anytime you raise your arm. You have to go back.
I have that. If I do lateral raises, I cannot stop my trap from really doing a lot of the work. I can see my trap shortening instead of the heads of my shoulders doing the work.
There's some
and it's interesting. Not to cut you off, but the next level of that, once that whole arm shoulder rotates, I'm fixing tendonitis because the forearm stuck to the bicep, and because that shoulder and biceps literally pointed in the other direction, you almost can't do straight bar curls because you have such severe issues with your elbow. And a lot of guys are having issues contracting the bicep at that point. And then once that shoulder's, rotated forward so much, good luck trying to get a lat squeeze when you're doing lat pull downs. And most of the time, I went, when I first met Branch, he couldn't rotate his arm back. Oh man, probably 50% into a rear bicep curl. I'm like, holy crap. You wonder, with Ronnie and these guys, supposedly the weight of a nickel on the nerve will shut down the nerve by 40%. Well, imagine a rotated shoulder, and that shoulder's the size of a basketball.
Right.
You're going to lose a lot of the issue, with that electrical connection to half the upper body,
Hey, we have to take a break. I've got lots of questions. It's going to be a great show. Of course, that Dr. Craig Banks has his PhoenixBioPerformance.com website where you can get Phoenix Kinetic Cream. If you want to reach out to Jimmy Bluff, maybe set up a session with him or talk to him about one of your own injuries, go to his website, jimmybluff.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
He's exposing the man behind the curtain in the organic discussion.
Whole Foods is getting prepared for this onslaught of new customers by finding ways to fool them into buying things that aren't organic, thinking that they are, which is the way they led into the industry back in the day when people remember Whole Foods. There were people that going in there and going, oh, well, this is all organic. I bought it at Whole Foods. And, oh, no. They do sell conventional stuff there. They do? Yeah.
Exposing the myths in our grocery stores.
And then Whole Foods started labeling it more clearly what was organic and what was conventional. But there was a whole period of time where people were buying what they thought was organic when it wasn't. And they were charging more. Whole Foods prices was a conventionally grown produce, similar price to what other stores were selling organic. And that made it even more confusing for the consumer. They thought, well, how could it be? I just paid $3.45 for a pound of apples. That's what that store sells organic. You're telling me I bought conventional apples?
Yep, you did.
Carl Lenore on Superhuman Radio.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to gum disease. It does not contain fluoride, detergent, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good, people will comment about it. Right now, you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD, and neither should you.
Train harder, train longer, recover faster, and elevate protein synthesis. It's finally here, Splice, with branched-chain amino acids, taurine, and trimethylglycine. You'll blast through your workouts without the need for stimulants, and the alpha-lactalbumin ensures your workouts will be the most productive because nothing accelerates muscle growth faster. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Predator Nutrition banner ad and use the coupon code SPLYCE10 to save 10% off today.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
By now, everyone knows I'm a big proponent of dairy, but as we all know, not all dairy is created equal. Learn more about a form of dairy made available to us that is raw, organic, grass-fed, grass-finished, low-heat pasteurized, and cultured with probiotics, without the offensive beta-casein protein believed to be 13 times more toxic than gluten. Check out superhumandairy.com to learn more, or go to superhumanradio.com and click the green-fed dairy banner ad today.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. AgeForce introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
The same, but we are very far apart. There's bullet holes where my compassion used to be, and there is violence in my heart.
Welcome back. AgeForce DHEA plus pregnenolone patch. They have a special offer at superhumanradio.com. If you go there and check out the banner ad, you'll see that you can get a, I believe it's a buy one, get one free, with their DHEA delivered directly to the bloodstream from one of their patches. Buy one, get one free. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad. We're talking right now with Dr. Craig Banks and Jimmy Bluff. We're talking about manual therapies that could actually increase the muscle on your body. You train so hard, you buy supplements, you do all sorts of stuff, but here's something you're probably not doing. So, let's talk about something here. Should these manual therapies be applied at a special point within the training regimen? Is this a, like immediately after your workout, should you go for a manual therapy like this? Who wants to answer that?
Craig, you want to answer that?
With chiropractic, I prefer to work on people before their workouts, because after the workout, obviously, it's a little bit tougher for me to get in once the tissues are all swollen. Now, that's just talking about a single session. Most of the time, people are coming to a chiropractor, unless they have a very specific injury, they're coming, in a bodybuilding sense, they're coming from a routine maintenance, much like you go get your teeth cleaned every 6 months. things are going to happen regardless how much you brush your teeth, no matter how much you floss. You're going to go in there and there's going to be some plaque buildup. They got to clean it up. Much like life. I've got to clean up some of the things that just happen through normal bouts of training. They're going to be minor problems, but I'd rather fix the minor problems before they become major and then actually start to affect the training.
So if I'm going to see a chiropractor, am I going on my off days? Would that be the best idea?
You can definitely do the off days. Some people will come in before, say, for example, a heavy leg day or a heavy back day. Or if they're dealing with a specific injury, they may want to come prior to training that body part.
What about you, Jimmy? Is yours different? Is yours better after a workout?
You know what? I want that tissue as relaxed as humanly possible. I'm using my fingertips with my techniques. So my elbow obviously to release some of the bigger tissue areas, but I want them nice and relaxed. And the best results I've seen, especially for a lot of my big guys, is and that's why I love teaming up with professionals like Craig. Is the minute I see one of these guys nice and relaxed, I can completely slice their bodies apart. I send them right over to a chiro because at that point that tissue is in such a soft, supple length and state. They feel like $1 million. And the next level, I tell you, bodybuilders are bodybuilders. I tell them after I'm finished with them, just a light pump. Because once I release a lot of that tissue, the next approach to my technique, now that all these fascial restrictions are completely gone, there's not, there's minimal inflammation to the surface because there's no knuckles and tearing of the skin. These guys are getting like the greatest pumps of their life and literally going from a 40, a guy texted me last week and they said, take 2 days rest. He went and worked out that night and went from a 40-pound triceps extension to like 130 pounds just because we removed what was causing pain.
Jimmy,
before they train.
When I have some of those stabbing pains deep inside of a muscle belly, is that indicative of what we're talking about here, like these adhesions or whatever
absolutely.
You want to call it?
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, if you take a tricep that's supposed to be, 22 inches, and you put enough shrink wrap on it so it's trying to squeeze in a small shirt, how can you not have pain? You can't even extend that muscle. It's like, it's so hypertonic and in a shortened state, that's why you feel literally like it's going to rip off the attachment, So you get that broken glass feeling in your elbows and so on and so forth. So, yeah, by getting in there, and you can literally feel it popping like bubble wrap with my technique and lengthening the almost the inside out of that tissue. It's like taking beef jerky compared to a nice, fresh, juicy steak, you know what I mean? You need to get blood back in the deeper areas of that tissue so it can grow from the inside out, heal itself, and get that. You're not trying to run a marathon breathing through a straw. You're trying to run a marathon breathing through a fire hose, you know what I mean?
Right, right. So, Craig, what about soft tissue? Do these manual therapies play a role in soft tissue as well? Because that really becomes a beguiling problem for those of us who start getting older, soft tissue issues.
Oh, sure. I mean, that's what Jimmy's mostly dealing with is the soft tissue. I'll work with the joints, but obviously there's really no separation, to be honest. I mean, people talk about soft tissue versus joints versus bone issues and alignment. There really is no difference. I mean, bottom line is muscles are attached to tendons. Tendons are attached to bone. They all have to work together to create a normal muscle firing pattern and a normal motion. And if I've got a problem with the joint, my muscles are going to be affected. If I've got a problem with the muscle, my joints are going to be affected. There really is no true separation. I don't have Jimmy in my office, but I do have two massage therapists in my office, and it's a hand in hand type of thing. You can't really just say, oh, this one works or this one works. Research shows, as far as chiropractic will be far more effective when combined with a soft tissue and exercise protocol than chiropractic itself.
So, Craig, do you actually have your massage therapist give a guy or a gal a relaxing massage, lengthen those muscles, soften them up before you actually do an adjustment?
I wouldn't really call it a relaxing because I want to differentiate.
That's a good time, isn't it?
Right. I want to be very clear and differentiate, a foo-foo spa massage compared to what Jimmy's doing or what my massage therapists are doing. It's not exactly the most pleasant experience during the whole time. There are going to be some points where you hurt. I mean, it's not a.
But okay, so here, but listen, I got a massage therapist, and he hurt me. There's a difference between something that hurts and a therapist who hurts you. So I have my shoulders are all effed up, right? And he takes my hand and puts it behind my back, like I'm going to do a bow, you know, like a sailor's bow. Mm-hmm. And he grabs my elbow and he pulls it. He says, well, I want to stretch the front head of your shoulders. And son of a B, I can't move my arm for 2 days after that. Now, I can't believe that that's therapeutic.
No, I disagree with that. I try not to get angry when I hear things like that. But, yeah, first, and that's why I'm probably so busy in my practice all over the country, because first I release that entire front shoulder, because that's what's causing most of the rotational issues to begin with. So there's just a very segmentalized approach you have to take to opening the body up, you know what I mean? And unfortunately, that's what I'm talking about. You're supposed to come out of there like, holy crap, I can move my arm over my head. Not, oh my God, I'm in so much pain, I can't move. Like, how are you going to go train when your therapist kicked your ass for 2 weeks? You know what I mean? You're trying to recover because they took some $400 metal blade across your body and you're black and blue. It just, I get so fired up.
I had that happen. Yeah. So there's a little sulcus that the bicep muscle attaches beneath the heads of the shoulder, right?
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And there's almost a little strap of soft tissue that goes over to keep it in the groove, right? I don't know what it's called.
It's called your transhumeral ligament.
That's it. So I apparently, over years of training, have gotten it to the point where those ligaments can pop in and out of that groove.
Right. Yeah, and your transhumeral is actually gone then.
Point. So there's certain movements. Like if I go palms up, arms out, they'll pop right out. Like I can feel them. And then I have to move my shoulders a certain way, they pop back in, and it's kind of cumbersome. Right. So I go to this chiropractor, Craig, and he's an ex-power lifter, blah, blah, blah. And he starts doing, what do they call it, prolotherapy to me, right? He takes this metal object, and he's scraping my arm over this, and then I'm all black and blue during the session. The next day I was purple, and my arms hurt worse, and I thought, what the hell did he think he was doing?
Graston is a technique that they're discussing there, and you know, there's other tools and whatnot, but basically it's Graston.
Yeah.
And it is effective if it's done right. And you know, it's not the most comfortable technique, and you are probably going to get some redness. If you turn black and blue, they overdid it. You'll find some videos out with me working on Brian Yerski, who's getting ready to do his pro debut at the Wings of Strength in Chicago. He's a bodybuilder patient of mine. And you'll see some videos of me working with a Graston-like tool on his chest. And, you know, he didn't turn black and blue. He did turn red, because the idea is to bring that blood flow to the area, but you don't want to damage the tissue. Do you know what I mean? There's a fine line between working that and actually damaging tissue. Because, yeah, we want to bring some extra blood flow to the area and cause it to recover more appropriately. However, that's and to, you know, do some of the same things that we work with, that the Jimmy's doing work with. You know, we want to break up some of the adhesions and scar tissues and so forth. But as far as turning you fully black and blue, and I'm not trying to pick on your chiropractor or anything, but that was overkill.
Well, and I'll tell you something else. So what Jimmy's talking about actually the muscle gets bigger after a session because you stretch that fascia. And I was experimenting with katsu, right? Because my biceps are strong, but they just never grow.
Right.
But I started playing around with katsu, and I put two bands up there between the shoulder, the head of the shoulder and the top of the bicep. I don't have that problem because the bands act like that piece of soft tissue that usually keeps that muscle in the notch, and I have no problem since I've been doing that now. I had to create an external alternative to the problem, the answer to the problem.
Yeah.
So,
you know, it's interesting you mentioned joints and everything, and you know, if they're related. And whenever someone says I have knee pain, or I have, you know, hip pain, or I have elbow pain, or I have shoulder pain, you know, I don't even necessarily look at the knees. I mean, typically it's what I call a catcher's mitt when they get a lot of crazy scar tissue right around the kneecaps. But a lot of times it's the hip flexor quad tendon. The quad muscle is just so knotted up and outwardly rotated that once you lengthen that tissue, there's no more knee pain. You know what I mean? So I just wanted to throw that comment
well,
in there.
It's typically
not your knees.
I want to take a break.
Typically not your elbows.
I want to take a break, but I want to come back on that because that's an interesting idea. I want to talk about this more. So here we're going to take a quick commercial break. In the meantime, you can go and visit Phoenix Bioperformance to learn more about Kinetic Cream. We're going to talk about Kinetic Cream, too, in the scope of this discussion. And you can also go to jimmybluff.com to learn more about the services that Jimmy offers, and we'll cover what area of the country he's in when we come back. Stay tuned.
Carl Lenore.
The FDA has exceeded all of its previous levels of being sinister and corrupt by trying to poison this country by forcing us to eat genetically modified foods without knowing they're GMO foods, while trying to obstruct our access to natural foods that are grown right in our hometown.
Empowering the people and telling it like it is.
They're corrupt, they're sinister, they're disgusting. And we're never going to have a politician with any real chutzpah to stop the FDA. That's the sad part. So we have to stop them ourselves. The pressure has to push back. Keep supporting your family farm.
Only on Superhuman Radio.
1-2 punch for muscle growth is increased pump and increased intensity. Research shows metabolic changes occur that yield bigger, stronger muscles. Harness the power of agmatine plus carnosine beta-alanine to give your workouts the intensity, pump, and metabolic changes that you'll not only feel but be able to see. Go to superhumanradio.com and use the coupon code SHR to get Prime Nutrition's Ultimate Stack and save 30% off. That's a savings of over $12. Get the most out of your next training session with Prime Nutrition's Nitric Oxide Plus Intensity Stack. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. Keto Force is the first ketone salt that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Keto Force and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Force banner ad today. Power Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Scientists around the world confirm the vital importance of redox signaling to cell health. ASEA is the first and only stable, perfectly balanced mixture of these redox signaling reactive molecules that exist outside of living cells and can be used to help maintain proper balance inside the body to support the immune system, recovery, and the healing process. To learn more about ASEA and what it can do for you, go to superhumanradio.com and click the ASEA banner ad today.
Only one testosterone booster, Mahler's Aggressive Strength, raises testicular cholesterol levels while increasing gonadotropin-releasing hormone. That, in turn, turbocharges how much testosterone you can make. In a clinical trial, this resulted in a 347% increase in testosterone, and it won't bottom out your estrogen levels either, so your libido will be in high gear. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Aggressive Strength banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and get 10% off today.
Jumping higher, left and more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Out here in the perimeter, there are no stars. Out here, we is stone, immaculate.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Craig Banks and Jimmy Bluff. We're talking about manual therapies as an aid to building more muscle mass. You want a couple extra inches? This is where it could start. A lot of people feel like they've hit their genetic maximum. Well, maybe your muscles just need to be loosened up a little bit. So, Jimmy, you were talking about knees there.
Yeah.
Back when I was about 330 pounds, and not a good 330 pounds, I was an obese, very, very ill person. I owned an alarm company. and I would find myself in attics pulling wire, with kneeling and crawling across floorboards and joists. And I totally messed up my knees so bad that, like, behind my kneecaps, there must be, like, little barnacles, because if I'm sitting, I can feel them snapping all the time. My kneecaps snap all the time. And the most painful part about squatting for me is the warm-up sets, because my kneecaps feel like they're dragging across glass. And if I'm sitting for long periods of time in a movie theater, oh, my God, the pain in that kneecap tendon that goes up into the quadricep,
it just
aches and aches. What do I need to do about that?
Well, and see, this is where a lot of guys fear, you know, theoretically say, oh, no, you never want to foam roll before you train, you'll lose strength. And that's my point is, if your kneecaps are going to explode and you can't squat, then you need, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You need to fit. And it's like you're trying to wear your wife's tight jeans and take a lunge. Like, your knees and your hips are going to explode, you know what I mean? So absolutely, man. I've got a PVC pipe, and I always buy whatever the latest, greatest, you know, little gadget is with the myofascial tools just to experiment. But, you know, rolling from above the kneecap, you know, nice and slowly all the way up into that thigh, you'll feel, if you can relax, you know, that thigh, you'll feel little marbles exploding and breaking, and you'll feel that tissue roll right out, and you'll feel where you're in pain. That's why it blows my mind there's so many injuries with athletes who are worth, you know, five to whatever, $100 million. It's like I'm watching them walk down the basketball court with imbalances, like, you know, when's that injury going to happen? But yeah, to answer your question, absolutely, man. You know, I just, because I'm 6'3", and I've always been a real avid skier, I've always had to, you know, pre-exhaust with leg extensions, leg curls, after a little bit of a bike, after, you know, foam rolling to keep that from happening. Because how are you going to get a thigh pump if all you feel, and how are you going to even activate and contract that tissue when all you feel is crazy pain in your knees, and you're just hoping you're not going to be injured? You know, that's no way to train.
Right. And I, that's exactly how I feel on leg day. Listen, Dr. Banks, I turned 56 this month. Do older athletes, and I call myself an athlete because I train. My last leg day, in an hour, I moved 82,000 pounds. So do older athletes need to pay more attention to this? I'm coming to the realization that the older you get, the more maintenance work you have to do.
That is true. Unfortunately, as we age, we do decline a bit in muscle mass and also just the elasticity of the muscle in general. So some of the things that Jimmy is talking about in regards to the tightness and getting them loosened up a bit before your workout, it becomes vastly more important. Additionally, we start to lose blood supply to our tendons. There's already not that much there, but we start to lose that excess blood supply. So again, they become a bit more fragile. I could use kind of the same steak example that Jimmy did, in the fact that, you know, you think about a steak that's been cooked already and refrigerated for a couple of days, and you cut into it before you microwave it. It's just too hard, too rigid, and if you tried to pull it apart, it's going to break. But then you take that same thing and you microwave it, and then you try to pull on it, it's going to stretch a bit.
Right.
You know what I mean? So you got to get it warmed up.
Yeah, that makes sense. So what about supplements? And I know this is not manual therapy, but are there supplements that you guys use when you're working on an athlete that you like to see them use because it helps from a metabolic standpoint to carry out the work that you've already kind of initiated?
Go ahead, Greg.
I was going to say, you know, a lot of the arginine-based supplements do help because it's going to increase the vasodilation to the tissue. So really, to be completely honest, outside of some standard processed whole food vitamins, that's really the only supplement, that and maybe creatine, that I'm using on a regular basis myself, because I feel like those are the ones that are mostly important.
What about you, Jimmy? Anything that you find like allows the impetus that you've created to be carried out to a greater degree?
Well, for me, I always want my people to just have a high level of antioxidant support, especially after the sessions. Sometimes they almost feel drunk because we're releasing so much free radicals and toxins into the blood. So I'm big on that. I've got an alkaline water machine, you know, and I really want their alkalinity to get up and their pH as well. And any type of, gosh, even I try to push liver support and even enzymes, because I talk to all my athletes about their diet and their body function and all that as well. And I typically, especially for my bodybuilding crowd, I am always pushing those as well, just to help their body, assist their bodies and being a little bit more of a fine-tuned performance machine, you know.
Craig, where does Kinetocream fit in? I know that you created Kinetocream originally before you launched it as a product. You were using it in-house with your clinic. So where does Kinetocream fit into this whole manual therapy process?
We use Kinetocream a lot of times as something to work with the inflammation, whether it be right at the end of a soft tissue treatment. Say, for example, my massage therapist will do their work, and it's got too many anti-inflammatory properties and actually some cleansing properties that will actually exfoliate the skin to use it during the whole treatment. But then at the end, you know, we want to calm down that inflammation a bit, so they'll use it almost as a finishing product, just to make it cool it down and get rid of some of the inflammation. You know, we want to bring some healthy inflammation, but we also want to control it. And then additionally, when you're doing some work, soft tissue work in the joints, the joints, we don't really ever want to have inflammation in. Anytime we can control and minimize inflammatory change at that level, that's ideal. And as we've talked before, the bonus about having a topical to work with inflammation is we don't want to, number one, minimize inflammation during workout, immediate post-workout, because it then slows down muscle hypertrophy.
Right.
We can target the actual joint and minimize it during the workout and post-workout.
Would it be uncalled for to have my massage therapist use Phoenix Kinetocream? Obviously, a small little bit goes so far.
Right.
I know they're looking for highly viscous creams to that they rub on you. Could I use that for a whole body massage, or is that just not a good idea?
Number one, it's way too expensive, to be totally honest. And we're working on a massage cream solution that still has some anti-inflammatory properties. But I've got over 20 different anti-inflammatory ingredients in there, and a few of them have multiple purposes as far as like exfoliating the skin. So it would start to actually gum up a little bit, because
uh-huh.
you'd be peeling out off that very outer layer of tissue if you worked on it for too long. So for a full hour or even a half an hour, it's too much. If you're going to spot treat for like 5 minutes on one particular area, you can definitely do it. But overall, no. I'm actually working, like I said, on a massage cream to go and complement the line of products we have now.
That's interesting. There is a calling for that, huh?
Yeah. You know, some of the things that they're using, you know, they're just primarily there to create glide, nice, comfortable glide. But if I can do something and give something that's a dual purpose to improve the healing after the massage, you know, absolutely.
Jimmy, I'm on your website. You've worked on
yes.
ice. You've worked on iced tea.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's kind of a random occurrence. I worked with the trainer out there in Edgewater and walked in behind him and just ended up meeting him last year and spent a couple hours with him the following day. Really cool guy. It was really funny. The original OG.
Yeah, really. So where are you located, Jimmy? Are you out in California?
I'm in West Hollywood, California right now, yeah. I grew up in Northeast Pennsylvania there, and my folks still live there. So I travel frequently, every month, every other month, back to the New York, New Jersey, Northeast Pennsylvania area. And I still have an office in Draper, Utah, just south of Salt Lake City as well.
That's cool. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned.
There's something comforting about knowing he's out there.
Government is in place because it assumes that people are too stupid to care for themselves.
By your side.
Government has to take up the parental role of teaching people what to do.
Fighting the good fight.
Government has to get out of people's pantries, first of all. They can't legislate health.
He's Carl Lenore on Superhuman Radio.
The UK's known for its queen, Big Ben, and fish and chips. Well, move over. Here's the UK's strongest pro-hormone, Extreme Mass. Extreme Mass will give you a significant amount of muscle and strength. Gains of up to 10 kilograms in a 4-week cycle. You'll see an increase in libido, vascularity, and aggression. Shatter your personal bests in the gym while on Extreme Mass. Save 10% off. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Extreme Mass banner and use coupon code MASS10.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
In a world of advanced bodybuilding supplementation, the numbers don't lie. Fact, Iron Mag Labs is among the fastest growing hardcore supplement companies in the world. Fact, when it comes to no-nonsense, cutting-edge products, nobody delivers results like Iron Mag Labs. Fact, the Iron Mag Labs line of innovative formulation has set a new industry standard with products that are helping world-class bodybuilders reach levels they never thought possible. Iron Mag Labs is a proud supporter of bodybuilders everywhere. Discover the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements on the market. Visit IronMagLabs.com today.
Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. AgeForce introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now Patch. Go to SuperHumanRadio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. So, Dr. Banks, if somebody's new to chiropractic and they come in and they say, look, you know, I train hard. And Jimmy, I'm going to put the same question to you in a minute. How long does it take for you to get them from where they are, you know, spine contorted, subluxations, tweaked elbows, blah, 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 to a point where they can now at least experience a better form of training because a lot of these things are straightened out? Is it across months, or does it take years, or what?
No, it's not going to be a year's thing. Typically when somebody comes in, and it depends, it does depend upon age and just how much you're dealing with. A lot of times we'll take some x-rays of the spine or joints that we're working with that are in question. And depending upon how that x-ray turns out, we're not necessarily looking for broken bones, but at the same time, we do kind of need to see what we're really dealing with under there sometimes. A lot of times we'll start people off at a 2 or 3 time a week protocol just to minimize the pain, get the pain down first and foremost. Then we start kind of restoring the normal function as the pain comes down, and then finally we want to strengthen. So that can take anywhere from, you know, probably on the low end about six weeks up to about 18 weeks till I see like optimum results. And again, the 18 weeks, that's going to be somebody who's really, really messed up and who's got severe injuries. But for the normal healthy bodybuilder type, you know, we're looking at, you know, 6 to 9, maybe 12 weeks max.
What about you, Jimmy? Is it pretty much a similar thing, or is it faster or slower with you?
You know, man, I try to do the impossible. I mean, I had a guy come in 2 days ago. You can see on my Instagram, he had metal rods in his back and nothing was firing, crazy pain. And in about a 50 minute out of his 2 hour treatment, it looks like a 2 year difference in the amount of fascial tissue I can move. So with me, it really depends, obviously, on the severity of the issue. If you come to me and you can't feel your fingers and your traps are off 2 inches and I mean, you're shaped like an S, and I've seen this before, and you can't feel your toes, I mean, typically in 10 to 12 treatments, I can completely straighten you out and add an inch to your chest. But it really depends if you're 150 pounds or, you know, like Craig says, if you're a 300-pound bodybuilding athlete. You know what I mean? But just with the amount of tissue I can remove, and a lot of times, you know, these bodybuilders, Vinny Galanti, for instance, incredible guy, I got rid of all his pain, but instead of competing and you know, going back and not retiring from bodybuilding, he's competed in 2 powerlifting meets and won both.
Wow.
Talk about
a comeback.
It's so cool, and you can't take numbers and weight from someone if you know their trunks are a certain color. It is what it is, so it's really cool. He's finding a lot of success in that, and he's such an incredible person. But yeah, it really depends on the severity. You know, quick story with him, he was doing a lat pull down with about a number 6 on his machine at a studio, and I think the thing went to like 24 plates. And I said, now relax, take a couple days. I completely tore apart his back, his rear lats, his delts, everything. He was experiencing pain. A few hours later, I hear his client gasping as he's doing like number 13 or 14 or 15 with the entire thing stacked. You know what I mean? And yeah. Earlier that morning, he can only pull with the 6. So everyone is completely different. And just because as far as I know, I'm the only one in the world that does what I do. You know, you talk to Dave Palumbo with RX Muscle, and he'll tell you, I'll try to do anything, you know what I mean,
yeah.
And fix you as quickly as possible. And by teaming up with professionals like Dr. Banks, I can do all the fascial work and make sure from 50 feet, from 5 feet, everything looks completely symmetrical with my eyes and under my closed eyes, under my fingertips, hand them over to someone like Banks so I know he can completely biomechanically align them from a structural bone standpoint. And I'm making some incredible changes with some people who are flying in from Canada and out of the country, you know, very, very quickly. So, but again, I'm the guy that's trying to push the limits because I didn't finish my doctorate. I got right out into the workforce. So I don't know what's not possible. I just know what I dream of and pulling people out of wheelchairs when they fly in, you know what I mean? That's what my bigger dreams are.
So, but Jimmy, you have a unique approach. How do I find somebody in Louisville, Kentucky to work with? I mean, you know, it's hypothetical, but it's
I know.
It's whatever city somebody's in.
Everyone, there's a lot of different therapists out there and myofascial therapists that have different gifts. You know, I haven't started instructing yet. I haven't started teaching yet. I'm getting emails from doctors and therapists alike all over the country and out of the country. So that's probably something seminar-wise I'm going to do, but it's also difficult because you can't teach someone to hit like Barry Bonds unless they've been in the batting cage for 50,000 swings,
right,
to a certain extent too. So, but I'm excited to at least a couple of the short conversations I've had with a lot of these people. They just get so jacked and it's like, wow, you're a fan, man. This is just what I do for a living. That's really cool. So, once the demand gets to the point where it's not too overly complicated and my already 70-hour week to set some stuff up like that, I really would like to. But by finding a very reputable chiropractor, if he's very reputable, then either he himself does some form of ART or myofascial therapy or something to loosen you up enough to adjust you, or he better have access to a handful of really good soft tissue therapists. If he does not, me personally, I just question his techniques and overall long-term goal of having his clients be fixed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that or, gosh, I mean, finding the best local athletes and, you know, who do they go to?
Right, right. That's a good point right there. We
or
do
you
have
get on
you know,
a plane and drive to Jimmy.
Yeah,
or,
there you go.
Seriously, And I promised myself, man, I'm not going to – I love seeing my wife and his son driving out here in California. I'm not going to leave, but I've been spending time with John Meadows, and I'll be back there in Columbus next week. And then I'm out in Vegas the week before the Olympia, and I'm back in New York for 3 weeks this summer. I'm already booked out. So I am traveling, and I've got a lot of people that are trying to set up 10, 20 friends in different areas of the country right now, so I'm not opposed to traveling if there's demand for it. I love sharing my quote-unquote, I guess, gift that I've developed at this point. And at some point, I would definitely love to have a small army doing what I do, just fixing people all over and, you know, continuing to team up with professionals like Dr. Banks so we can literally I've got people in here that never thought they'd be able to contract their pecs, and when you tuck their shoulders back 3 inches, give them the ability to contract their back as well. I mean, you can't really explain that,
right?
That feeling that you get when someone emails you and they're emotional and they've just lifted more weight than they did before their friggin' injury. You know, it's just really gratifying. You know, it's cool.
Hey, Craig, did you work with Big Dave Bautista?
Yes, I did.
He's in that movie, man. He looks great.
I know. I actually was in Florida this past week, and I was on vacation, and I ran down to the WWE NXT show. One of my patients from Ohio has been signed with WWE. She's Dana Brooke. She's down there. She's got a knee injury right now. But I went to see her, and Dave happened to be there, and I've known him since 2005 when I was working really frequently with WWE as their chiropractor, one of their chiropractors. And I ran into him. We talked a bit. And we actually hung out at his house for a bit on Friday. So he's just a super, super nice guy. And he's got that movie coming up, and there couldn't be a better guy.
He looks
guy
great. That, you know, right. So in about 2003, 2004, he was here in Louisville because he was with OVW.
Exactly.
And this is a true story, and he'll tell you this is true. So Jeff Rui is a good friend of mine. He used to own Powerhouse Gym. And Dave came, this is before, Jeff did not have an agreement at that time with OVW to let their athletes train there for free. And Dave was out in the parking lot one morning, and I was in there training, and he came in, and he told Jeff, he said, look, man, I need a place to train. I don't have any money right now to pay for a gym membership. And Jeff said, go ahead, knock yourself out. Don't worry about it. And they became good friends, and we were at the Arnold one year, and he was like, wait for me, he was telling Jeff, but we were all caught up. He had a line going around, you know, the bend for right. People waiting. But he used to train, and now keep in mind, this is the same gym that another athlete that you're close with, Bobby Lashley.
Bobby, right.
And the other guy was the boogeyman. I don't know why, I can't remember his name, he was another, I mean, all those guys from OVW that went on to be fantastic wrestlers all trained at that little Powerhouse Gym on Westport Road in Louisville.
Right.
I remember seeing Bobby Lashley putting up 455 in the incline like it was no big deal, and I'm not lying.
And he still would today. He's just absurdly strong, just a insanely naturally strong guy.
He made fun of me because one day I never watched him wrestle because I'm not a big wrestling fan, you know, but one day I watched him on one of those big, you know, like WWE events. And I saw him like the next week in the gym. I go, Bobby, man, you are so agile. You move so quick. I was like, man, I can't get over it. And he was like, yeah, I know. It's hard to believe a big guy like me moves that. You know, he was laughing at me because I was like, I can't believe how agile you are. You know, I see how strong you are, but you move so fast. But right. Yeah, he's a really another really nice guy.
Yeah, his amateur wrestling background was phenomenal.
I know.
Military.
Marty, I can't think of his last name. Marty was the boogeyman. He used to come out with all these right. fake worms and throw them in the middle of the, and he had the headhunter outfit
exactly.
on, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah, great guys. But yeah, Big Dave, man, I remember when he used to drive a little beat-up car to the gym and go in there and train like an animal.
He's just a super humble guy, and just I've been really close with between him and Rob Terry. Those are two guys that just through wrestling, pro wrestling stuff, I've became really good friends with, and, you know, super happy about it.
Well, I'm going to pay more attention to getting into I got to find a good masseuse. I really do. A massage therapist, or as you put it, a myofascial therapist. I think if somebody calls themselves a myofascial therapist, they're taking it a little more seriously than a massage therapist. I'm not going to find that at Massage Envy, obviously.
Probably not.
Yeah, you know, it's tough. I mean, the minute you do find someone good there, they're booked for months.
Yeah,
you
right.
know, and,
right.
Yeah. And then anyway, they don't even last there very long, but yeah.
The website is phoenixbioperformance.com if you want to learn more about Kinetic Cream. It's a great topical that will make your pain go away, allow you to train harder without taking ibuprofen or other nasty NSAIDs. Great product. I keep it in the house. I use it regularly. I love the smell of it, by the way. And then, of course, Jimmy Bluff is out in California. His website is Jimmy Bluff, JimmyBluff.com. It's So if you're in the Cali area and you need a good myofascial therapist that can help you add inches to your physique, he's there. Guys, thanks for being on the show today.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Carl, real quick, just so your listeners can have a little deal here.
Please.
They use coupon code BLUFF, B-L-U-F-F. It'll take 25% off of Kinetic Cream for
25% off?
25% off plus free shipping. So, feel free.
I'll promote that on Facebook, by the way, after the show.
Yes. And I've been having my clients apply it after my treatments, and they literally walk out of here, like, floating. You know, so it's actually, like you kind of mentioned before, maybe not during the massage, because you know, but after, just they feel like $1 million. It's a really great product.
Very cool. Guys, thanks for being on the show today.
Thanks, Carl.
All right, bye.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Take care. All right, so stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Dr. Charles Spence all the way from the UK to talk about eating environment and food behavior. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned.
Not only does he poke holes in corporate lies, he tears them a new one.
All of the associated companies that say that GMO labeling is unfair to them cite that it would cost too much money to change the label on the box. But meanwhile, they spend millions and millions fighting labeling. Why don't they just use that money to label the boxes?
His name is Carl Lenore.
And keep in mind, Madeira, the province of Portugal, Switzerland, India, and Thailand have all banned, B-A-N-N-E-D, the sale and growth of genetically modified foods in their countries because they prefer to wait for more research to come out before they subject their citizens to it.
On Superhuman Radio.
Everybody deserves to know what they're eating. This is nonsense.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You, too, can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Superhumans using Percova Extra Edge Colostrum Powder are experiencing dramatic improvements in strength, performance, recovery, and endurance. Benefits that cannot be duplicated by any other supplement. Percova Extra Edge Colostrum Powder will take your game to another level. If you already know how great Percova Extra Edge Colostrum is, you could purchase 4 jars of Extra Edge Colostrum Powder for $200. Use coupon code SHR2. See the Percova banner ad on superhumanradio.com today. The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. Keto Force is the first ketone salt that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Keto Force and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Force banner ad today.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. What role does the environment play in your eating behaviors? We're going to talk about that now with Dr. Charles Spence. How are you doing, Dr. Spence?
Very good, thank you.
So you wrote a paper which I thought was about chrome plating bumpers, but it's actually about plating food. Plating Manifesto, The Art and Science of Plating. This was brought to our attention by our news director, Alex Leaf. Very, very interesting. So talk about it a little bit. What made you even look into this?
Well, it's kind of, I think there's been a, we study a lot of the senses, what we hear and see and taste and smell and touch, and how all the senses come together in food and drink. And we're lucky enough to work here in Oxford at the Psychology Lab with a number of chefs and restaurants trying to bring a bit of science to the alongside the art of presenting food in restaurants or at home environments. And in this case, we've seen over the last few years a kind of real growing awareness by chefs and restaurateurs thinking much more about how food looks on a plate than ever before. Go back 10, 20 years, and you find the famous French chefs just saying, well, kind of however it comes out of the pot, just put it on a plate and that's it. As long as it's nice ingredients, beautifully prepared, who cares about anything else? Move forward to kind of the present day, and now more and more chefs are really sensitive to the visual, the eye appeal of their food. Partly, I guess, that's because so many chefs are now being judged by the way that their food photographs as diners come to their restaurant and kind of Instagram their friends saying, this is where I'm eating tonight. This is what the food looks like. It's got to look good on mobile devices is kind of the thing.
Yeah.
So that's a big change. And we saw a few chefs out there, but some of the North American ones, Grant Ackett and others, who are sort of starting to take ideas from the visual arts, from paintings hanging in galleries here, there, and everywhere, and trying to translate some of those visual arts and paintings onto the plate. And we thought, they're doing it, and they're doing it intuitively, and what we wanted to bring to the table was kind of a scientific approach to it, saying, hey, if you're a chef and you're thinking about, you know, putting all your food on one side of the plate or the other, because you've seen some of those fancy restaurants
right.
doing asymmetrical plating, is that a good thing to do? Does it depend where you're serving it, you know, at a home situation or a corner restaurant? Or is this the kind of thing that only works in the very top restaurants?
These are all great questions. So let's address it this way. We know that the foodies, gastronomists, they all talk about presentation, right? The plate comes to the table before they smell it, before they taste it, they look at it, they go, oh, what a beautiful presentation. So does the presentation affect our hunger and thus our level of satiety?
As soon as that plate comes to the table, sort of the phrase would be, you know, eye appeal is half the meal. It's hard to put exact numbers on this, but people have been saying that for centuries or even thousands of years from the first account. Certainly you can make a food look that much more appealing. It can be partly, I think, about probably as a diner, when you see something coming out from the kitchen, you can kind of tell a little bit about how much effort went into the presentation, to the preparation of that thing. And maybe we like things that look like they've taken time to prepare, and the more effort, the better. But beyond that, we see that if you have something that's kind of aesthetically pleasing and beautiful to the eye, that can shift things even further. And you say, well, just because it looks nice doesn't mean necessarily that you should think it tastes better. But some of the research we've been doing in the lab here and with the chefs demonstrates that it does, that simply by changing the visual presentation, you can make food appear more appealing. People will potentially eat more of a salad or something else if it looks like a piece of art than if it's just a regular tossed salad, say. And for the restaurateurs, for the bottom line, people will be willing to pay X amount more for this kind of presentation versus some other one.
So art makes a perfect transition point for us, because if you look at something that is a piece of art that is world renowned, that is indisputably considered beautiful across all different socioeconomic and various classes of people, then to take that art and allow it somehow to be a template for the way you create the plate, you know that it's going to be instantaneously accepted, but people won't realize why, oh, that reminds me of Van Gogh's whatever. It's just, oh, that's so beautiful. Look how beautiful that is.
Yeah. I mean, on the one hand, you find the kind of the art critics and the social commentators who might say, food can never be art because you eat it. It's nutritious. It kind of fills you. It's something you need, and hence it's a necessity and not kind of a luxury. So food can never be art. But we think a much more open mind is warranted here. But it really does, you know, start raising some intriguing questions about what is art? Why is it something you can only normally see or hear? Why can't you eat it? The fact that food is perishable, does that make it any less artistic? And aren't some of our, you know, current top tier of chefs, aren't they the real artists of the present time, to be considered alongside those who work in other media? In terms of that kind of universality, I mean, that's a challenging one that we're just starting to work on now, because we haven't tried, showing universally appealing pieces of art turned into food all over the world just yet. But what we are doing is taking dishes that maybe are served in a top restaurant in England, or the typical presentation, say, of noodles in them in Taiwan or Korea, and showing pictures of that food to people from all different parts of the world to try and see, you know, how universal preferences are, and where there are cultural or individual differences, you know, how big they are and how important. And just one simple example of that, we have a chef working in the lab, Charles Michel, and he's French-trained classically, and he and his colleagues have always been told you must put, like, an odd number of items on the plate. It should be 3 scallops, not 4. 3, 5, okay, 7 is okay, quite filling, but never even numbers. You go to the Far East and places like Korea, are thinking much more about sort of yin and yang, and for them, even numbers are the right. Balance, harmony. So we're currently trying to get the right sort of food images, put them up on the web, and then have people from around the world who will see various different dishes. They'll have to say how yummy it looks, and what we'll be varying is kind of whether it's odd or even numbers of things that you see. And maybe there we will find some quite big cultural differences. Maybe not, but maybe we will, because of this internet-based testing. Just showing people pictures of dishes without even tasting anything, I think, can provide really valuable insights to the chef or somebody who's, you know, preparing food for diners from who knows how many different countries.
Yeah, and to those who say food cannot be, I was thinking about that. I was stuck on that for a second. I was thinking, well, of course it can. First of all, art is supposedly in the eye of the beholder. It's not the critic who tells us what is art. And number two, go ask Yoko Ono. I remember in the Museum of Modern Art in New York when I was a young man in college, Yoko Ono bit an apple and put it in a display case, and people came and watched it day in and different days as it changed, it oxidized, it withered, and they thought that was art. That was, they were astounded by her ingenuity.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's the ball. Maybe in that case it's something. So I mean, there are still lives for centuries. So we're happy to, pictures of food can
yes,
be art.
Yes.
Seeing somebody else doing something with food or letting it decay as like one of those kind of real-time still lifes that some of the modern artists do, I guess that still is art. But as soon as it transitions from that to something that goes in your stomach...
Yeah, it's no longer art. I get that.
That's
okay.
That's a border maybe in part. But no, well, I mean, we agree it should be considered as art. Most definitely. And we're just, but you kind of run up against people who say no way, no how.
Yeah. Let's do this, Dr. Spence. Let's take a quick commercial break. I've got lots more questions for you. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio.
Previously on Superhuman Radio.
You know, these politicians, they don't care. And you know what the worst part is? Their children and their grandchildren are being affected by these genetically modified foods.
The GMO issue affects everybody.
So they're not only just selling their own souls, they're selling the souls of their offspring, their grandchildren, their nieces and nephew, who are being exposed to these things that are going to cause disease.
Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore. Listen weekdays at noon.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at liveonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, livonlabs.com.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
Only one testosterone booster, Mahler's Aggressive Strength, raises testicular cholesterol levels while increasing gonadotropin-releasing hormone. That, in turn, turbocharges how much testosterone you can make. In a clinical trial, this resulted in a 347% increase in testosterone, and it won't bottom out your estrogen levels either, so your libido will be in high gear. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Aggressive Strength banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and get 10% off today.
Now, everyone knows I'm a big proponent of dairy, but as we all know, not all dairy is created equal. Learn more about a form of dairy made available to us that is raw, organic, grass-fed, grass-finished, low-heat pasteurized, and cultured with probiotics, without the offensive beta-casein protein believed to be 13 times more toxic than gluten. Check out superhumandairy.com to learn more, or go to superhumanradio.com and click the green-fed dairy banner ad today.
Scientists around the world confirm the vital importance of redox signaling to cell health. ASEA is the first and only stable, perfectly balanced mixture of these redox signaling reactive molecules that exist outside of living cells and can be used to help maintain proper balance inside the body to support the immune system, recovery, and the healing process. To learn more about ASEA and what it can do for you, go to superhumanradio.com and click the ASEA banner ad today.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Charles Spence about how the eating environment affects food behavior, or eating behavior, I should say. And so getting back to the plate for a second, what do we know? Can we say anything with assuredness, like these artsy Art Deco type, everything lined up on one side of the plate, that works great if you're in a fine restaurant, but if you're in an average eatery, maybe a pub, people don't react to it the same way?
So what we can definitely say is when we try the everything lined up on one side versus everything right in the center of the plate comparison, then certainly diners in kind of the regular restaurant or situation prefer the symmetrical arrangement, and they'd pay far less for having everything put to one side or the other. Whether that changes when you get to the really top end of restaurants, I'm not sure. That's the kind of the thing we'd love to test. It's going to be very difficult to actually get into there to one of the, you know, the three-star restaurants and say, okay, can we take it over for tonight and run some experiments on your diners? That just isn't going to happen. So the best we can say is for the kinds of restaurants we're allowed to test on a sort of regular basis, that's not a good idea. But I mean, there are other things that we know for sure. So we've worked with Ferran Adrià's kitchen in Spain. They're having one of the kind of the chef's frozen strawberry dessert, kind of ice cream creation, nice and pink. And when we serve that to people in the restaurant, kind of the test kitchen scenario, if we serve exactly the same dessert on a round white plate, people will rate it as tasting about 10% sweeter than exactly the same batch of ice cream from a black plate.
Is that right?
And if you layer on top of that, if you then start changing the shape of the plate, which itself shouldn't taste of anything, of course, but it seems to, and the kind of round and white plates are the sweetest, whereas angular and black plates, or think, you know, one of those kind of trendy black slates that you get
your cheese
in some restaurants, that is much less associated with sweetness. And we've tested that now in the test kind of restaurant kitchen setting with Fran Adrià's research team. We've tested it in one of the restaurants at the Paul Bocuse, kind of traditional heart of French cuisine, and the same sort of thing happened there. So that does seem to be a generalization that if you want things to taste sweeter, put it on something round, put it on something white. And then, as you mentioned earlier, are there things that you can do with plating in order to try and affect satiety, or to, you know, if you want to eat a little bit less but feel just as full, then thinking about the size of the plate on which you present the food, again, seems to have a significant impact.
Well, do you think that when people walk into a fine restaurant, a restaurant where the chef is noted and written up in newspapers, and that there's a placebo effect that occurs. That we, first of all, our expectations are put aside because I think most people, when they walk into a fine restaurant, they say, well, I don't have a very educated palate, so whatever this fine chef sends out must be better than something I've been exposed to before, so I should say, oh, this is amazing. And but when you go to an average eatery where people know what they want and how it should taste, it doesn't. They go, wait a minute, this doesn't taste any good. I don't care if it's served on this plate or that plate.
That's true. I mean, we all sort of say that. And many of the chefs, too, will say, you know, we've been speaking to them for years and said, we think the color of the plate really makes a difference. The shape of the plate really can affect the taste of the food. And I say, no, of course not. That's not what we were taught in cookery school. It's just about the ingredients, how you prepared them. We don't believe you. And so we've spent the last few years going around the cookery schools and the restaurants and saying, oh, we're going to get the evidence for you and convince you it really is true that the plate on which you put a dish makes a difference. We'll all say we're just tasting what's in the glass. We'll all say, I'm convinced I can really tell you the quality of what's on the plate. None of us think the lighting makes a difference. None of us think that the sound coming over the tannoy makes a difference.
I was waiting for you to say sound, and I'll tell you what. Well, you know why? Because now we have this wonderful technology. I'm sure they have greeting cards in the UK where you open it up and it plays a song, right? And this technology has become so inexpensive that it's disposable. They'll be making plates soon with a switch on the bottom where you could switch between five or six different sounds that will make the person enjoying the meal enjoy it more because of the sound that the plate is emanating.
Absolutely. I mean, that will come in, that will certainly be true. I think it will start out first in the top restaurants. We'll see which sort of sounds work best with certain foods.
Right.
And from there, it'll percolate down to the high street. And I mean, only a month ago, one of the ice cream manufacturers came out with like a concerto app where you scan the top of the tub of ice cream. You'll see some musicians playing music on top of your tub of ice cream. When they've finished, your ice cream's soft enough to scoop, supposedly. We've done work with cognac brands, getting music, and with Starbucks, in fact, getting music to match the taste of particular drinks, beverages. And we have the evidence from the lab and from the restaurant setting to say, yes, we really can change the taste simply by changing the music. Everyone will deny it. Psychologists, chefs alike, and yet the evidence from the research studies demonstrates
it's
these things do have an impact more than we ever have realized, and it's kind of a nice sort of scientific approach that can help. Well, scientists aren't necessarily the creative ones, but they can kind of evaluate some of the creative and crazy ideas that some of the chefs are coming up with. And when it comes to that kind of placebo effect you mentioned, I think that's very much true. I think there are two things going on at the really fine restaurants. On the one hand, people kind of go to some of these modernist restaurants expecting the unexpected.
Right.
It cannot just be meat and two veg. It must be something that looks like a strawberry. It better taste like rhubarb or something else. It cannot be just what it is. So we expect the unexpected there, and that's different from what we want when we go out for comfort food or to our favorite restaurants on a regular basis. But separate from that, what we'd really love to do is take exactly the same food and serve it in the fancy French restaurant with a silver-plated, or gold-plated kind of bathroom taps. Serve that food in a regular restaurant, serve that food in the air, serve that food in the home setting, and it would be rated very differently. Is it 15%? Is it more? It's certainly big, and from the studies that have been done so far, no one's been able to do it in a three-star restaurant versus in a kind of corner restaurant. Right. But if you serve the same food in the plane or in a refectory, in a school dining room, in a restaurant, you do see these kind of 10, 15 or more percent changes in people's ratings.
Do you think that your work will influence packaging? Do you think the same, what you're learning about plating can be transferred to packaging?
Absolutely. In a big way. I mean, a large part of our research, we do probably about half of our research in the lab here in Oxford is about food and drink and the restaurant type or home dining scenario. But the other half is very much about packaging of I mean, if you see this, the numbers that are quoted, that probably a third of the food, of all the food that we consume, is eaten or drunk direct from the packaging. Packaging is actually a kind of plateware.
Right.
And so we do research. We just done a study with an Edinburgh brewer, a microbrewery, selling his beer, where we just put a different coloured label on the beer bottle and gave it to 500 people. And simply by changing the colour of the label on the beer bottle, you can bring out certain flavor notes, perhaps in much the same way that if we change the color of the plate, you can bring out or accentuate certain tastes.
I mean, that, you know, you realize that this is, it's hard to get your mind around this, right? I mean, that these little nuances have such a grand influence, and it just goes to show you how food science is so tricky. I mean, it's just amazing.
But in a way, the packaging one is kind of, I mean, when I tell my colleagues in the psychology department here in Oxford, I'm studying packaging. Why would anyone study packaging? It's just the stuff that comes in, right? It's
right.
Disposable, the thing you throw away and you don't want. And for me, I think there's a whole world of research there. And then if I wander down the wine aisle at the local supermarket, when I've got 1,000 bottles trying to capture my attention, all in the same identical bottles, more or less, just seeing how the ways that the designers and the marketeers and the creatives have gone about trying to put interesting things on those wine labels, that for me makes it one of the most interesting kind of visual search environments. And there's so much psychology down in the wine aisle that could, stimulate lots of research. And that what you find on wines, you can then, what we do is kind of go across categories of what we find in wine labels. We might try and apply to deodorants. What's happening in deodorant packaging sounds, we'll then apply to soft drinks, and from there, who knows where. But it's, I think, a real exciting area. Now, when you go to the supermarket, you just look at the shelves, be it at soft drinks or beers or deodorants, you just see all these new packaging shapes, all these different packaging forms with different textures. And for the so companies now are coming out with lots and lots of different shapes, feels, colors, right. Sounds of packaging. But very often when you go to the companies and you say, well, why did you put that product in that particular package? Was it, I don't know, just packaging some other building, some
isn't
other
that,
department,
and
some other company.
They're missing out on the real science of it. They just don't understand.
Absolutely. Yep. And again, we've got a lot of research saying if you change the color, if you change the weight of the packaging, you can make things taste better, of a higher quality. If you change the feel, this is what you can do. And we think it's a really exciting area with technology developing, with things coming out on the shelf. And for me, it's kind of the psychology, the measurement science, trying to help connect the food manufacturers with the sort of packaging.
Well, and like when you said before about people interpret something tasting sweeter when it was served on a round white plate. Well, yep. There's companies that are trying to get more and more sugar out of their recipes.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also a pushback from most consumers that don't want artificial sweeteners, and so they're perplexed. And how do we deliver a product
yep.
that tastes sweet without the sugar? So, and it could be yep. the packaging that comes in be the answer.
Really, definitely. And we say just for one example from the high street store setting last year. I'm not sure if you really have it in the States, but in England, our favorite, what we call chocolate bar, is kind of Dairy Milk. It comes in a purple package,
okay,
and a brick shape. So very popular in England for about eight decades or something, Dairy Milk bar. And that's always been very rectangular, like a brick in shape. Last year, they made it into a rounder shape. Remember, round is sweet.
Right.
What did consumers complain about? You've changed our favorite brand. It tastes sweeter. Give us back the original formula.
Oh, my God.
And then you have the company coming back saying, we didn't touch the formula. All we did is change the shape. And we were in print 2 years before that saying, if you want to make something sweeter, make it rounder.
Oh,
so there would be a chance
God.
where you could, using a bit of the psychology, change the shape of the chocolate bar, maybe reduce the sugar, if it wasn't such a cheap ingredient, and you would then get what the consumer experiences as the same taste as always, but which, through the science of the neuroscience, actually has a bit less sugar.
You know what? I would love to see this. I would love to see this research taken just a little bit further, and here's what I mean. So we know that if an athlete simply washes their mouth with a high sugar mm-hmm. drink and spits it out,
yep.
that the body prepares for the mm-hmm. sugar by a spike of insulin. I would love to see, without changing the recipe, but because of the packaging A and packaging B, if the insulin response, the insulinogenic response is altered somehow, that would be amazing. Because mm-hmm. that would show that it's not even just perception, but it's physiologically changing mm-hmm. our, yep. the way we think this food's tasting.
Yeah, and probably that would work. I mean, I can imagine we do things on colored drinks, and there you can make things taste sweeter by, say, coloring them a kind of a ripe red fruit color. Give that drink a different color, and people will say it's much less sweet. And that difference can be, again, about as much as 10% difference. And you've got two glasses in front of you, one that's got less sugar but looks sweet, the other one that has more sugar but that doesn't look very sweet. and you're putting them both in your mouth and saying which is actually which one's really sweeter, and you may well go for the psychological sweetness, the calorie-free sweetness.
Wow.
And then so if you're thinking about those mouthwashes and how to improve athletes' performance, then it could well be that if you give people a mouthwash to rinse with before you put them on the cycle machine or whatever, then if it looks sweet. You may get that expectation again.
Without the sugar,
brains,
right.
In fact,
right.
Our brains are really about foraging for food. That and fornicating, but the foraging bit.
Right.
We can't stick all the foods that are around us in our mouths, so hence our brain has learned. As soon as we see a food, within a blink of an eye, less than a hundredth of a second, our brain has decided, is that an energetic food? Do I like it? Is it what I need now? Will it give me the energy? And that's all happening automatically, just like that.
Isn't that amazing? And we don't smell it. We don't taste it at that point in time. Nothing. This is really intriguing. We have to take a break. I've got more questions. You're listening to a discussion right now about how the environment plays a role on our perception of what food will taste like. It's amazing to me. This is a science that some of the biggest food manufacturers in the world have already capitalized on, I'm sure, as we talk about this. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Dr. Charles Spence.
Previously on Superhuman Radio.
Monsanto has shortened more lives than any other sinister regime in our history.
The war against GMOs wages on.
And someone posted on my Facebook and said, you can't be serious about that. You're comparing them to the Nazi regime? And I said, I compare them to any regime because, number one, they're not done yet. And number two, we don't even know. There's no way to do a head count of the number of lives that have been shortened because of the things that Monsanto has promoted in this country and abroad.
Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore. Listen weekdays at noon.
In a world of advanced bodybuilding supplementation, the numbers don't lie. Fact, Iron Mag Labs is among the fastest growing hardcore supplement companies in the world. Fact, when it comes to no-nonsense, cutting-edge products, nobody delivers results like Iron Mag Labs. Fact, the Iron Mag Labs line of innovative formulation has set a new industry standard with products that are helping world-class bodybuilders reach levels they never thought possible. Iron Mag Labs is a proud supporter of bodybuilders everywhere. Discover the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements on the market. Visit IronMagLabs.com today. Research on how colostrum improves athletic performance, muscle growth, health, and vitality is undeniable, but finding a reliable source of colostrum is difficult. Now the Superhuman Nation has Immunodynamics. For over 30 years, Immunodynamics has been regarded as both the standard and the source for consistently providing only first 6-hour colostrum, painstakingly processed by continually refined methods to provide the highest biological activity in the world. For a limited time, when you buy Percoba Extra Edge Colostrum Powder, you'll get a bottle of colostrum lozenges and a Fit and Fresh portable drink mixer free. Use coupon code SHR at checkout. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Immunodynamics banner ad today.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to gum disease. It does not contain fluoride, detergents, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good people will comment about it. Right now you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD, and neither should you.
The UK is known for its queen, Big Ben, and fish and chips. Well, move over. Here's the UK's strongest pro-hormone, Extreme Mass. Extreme Mass will give you a significant amount of muscle and strength, gains of up to 10 kilograms in a 4-week cycle. You'll see an increase in libido, vascularity, and aggression. Shatter your personal bests in the gym while on Extreme Mass. Save 10% off. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Extreme Mass banner and use coupon code MASS10.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest protein bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious
Delicious Protein Bars.
Your physique is carved from sweat, reps, and discipline. It's time to show off your hard work with Quest Apparel. Clothes engineered to enhance the contours of your body. The makers of the number one selling Quest Bar created Quest Apparel with your body and philosophy in mind. Every shirt, pant, and dress has an inspirational custom tagline as a reminder to yourself and a subtle message to those around you that you carved your path to be the exception because you are made, not born. Go to questapparel.com and enter code SUPERHUMAN to receive 20% off your purchase today.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Mr. Bombastic.
Welcome back.
We order some bombastic, romantic, fantastic.
You can get a kilo of Percoba Extra Edge Colostrum for $200 right now. Go to superhumanradio.com. Go to the Carl Recommends area. Click the Immunodynamics link. And use coupon code SHR and the number 2. Check it out. We're talking with Dr. Charles Spence right now, and we're talking about how the environment affects how we perceive food. This is a really important discussion because when we look at the obesogenic model today, it's not one thing that's causing this. And what I said going into the break is very true, I have to believe, Dr. Spence, that some of the most advanced food companies in the world, the big ones, General Mills. I mean, you look at these large organizations that own multiple companies. They're already aware that packaging influences how people will perceive and obviously how much they will eat of their foods, right?
To some degree, yes. Not as much as perhaps in all cases you might think. And in particular, I really see as kind of the traditional model of sort of food development in many of those multinationals. Is that, you know, there was flavor development and product development in one place, and packaging was just something, an afterthought, or something that somebody else did, or some other company. And so while at some level they kind of realize, hey, packaging is more important, perhaps we should give it more thought and more consideration. In fact, the kind of the way things have been for years has just carried on, and so it really is the case that they still do, in many of these multinationals, develop a food product somewhere, then test it blind. When you go into a testing environment, you just get the food or the drink, but no packaging around it. And then once they've got the formulation right, then somebody else comes along and says, hey, okay, what's the packaging of this be? And maybe, finding that it is just to realize it, in far too many cases, the first time that the product and the packaging come together may well be on the shelf in the supermarket.
Wow. Let's talk a little. So you've got a book coming out in 2 months, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the name of it is?
Perfect Meal.
And so what
perfect meal.
Does this take into account your research, The Perfect Meal?
Oh, yes. It's a real sort of, in a way, kind of a psychologist in the kitchen and trying to apply everything we're learning about how the brain works to designing that perfect meal, that kind of once-in-a-lifetime a memorable food experience that we have, and looking at everything from the way that sort of serving staff meet and greet you, what they know about you, how they deal with your requests, through how should you call a dish once you've got something really nice on the menu.
Huh.
Should you give it a foreign name? Should you use some other kind of technique? Through obviously the plating, the plateware, even thinking about cutlery. Does that make a difference? What's the best cutlery to use to make things taste good, to make us feel fuller on less? Through obviously the environment, what kind of music is playing in the background? What kind of lighting might work best? All the way to where are we going to be in, you know, 10 or 20 years from now? In 2084, say, what kind of foods might we be eating? What kind of fine dining experiences will we have? And what new kind of food products will be on our tables?
I can see this information being used two ways. The first could be by food manufacturers who want to get people to eat more and more and more. And the second is by those who are looking to try to correct the obesity epidemic and want people to feel a greater degree of satiety on smaller mm-hmm. amounts of food.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you're right. I mean, in a way, all we're creating is kind of evidence or information, and how that information is used ultimately depends on the goals of those who use it.
Right.
Certainly, we're trying to work on projects around kind of nudging people towards healthier eating. So, you know, If I give you something in a heavier package, you'll be satiated sooner than if I give you the same food in a light package.
Wait, are you talking about weight now, or are you talking about color?
Yes.
Really?
I'll say weight of the packaging.
Is that right?
If I give you a yogurt to taste, I mean, we're all being told, and the companies are being told, you must lightweight, you must reduce the packaging. Good for the environment, but at the same time, it makes things taste less good to us. So we're doing research with the people eating yogurts, and if we just drop a weight in the bottom of the yogurt pot, then the weight of the pot in your hand as you're eating it from the packaging shouldn't make a difference to how full you feel, and yet it does. Our brain kind of takes what it feels about the packaging and integrates that into our experience of the product inside, and hence the more heavier packaging feels like you're kind of consuming more, and as a result, you think you'll be full sooner.
That's amazing. Unfortunately, with petrol prices being so high, it would be a very expensive process.
Sure.
But, I mean, it's amazing.
But then you think, okay, then there are possibly ways around this. So I mean, for some kind of luxury products, you do see wine bottles. Weight is no constraint. But for everyday yogurts, of course, having a glass yogurt pot may be too expensive.
Okay, so wait a minute. So this is something I'm a bit of a wine snob, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I do notice that there are certain bottles of wine that I buy that I like. The bottles are much larger, much heavier than other bottles of wine that I also like. So what role does the heavier wine bottle play in my liking one wine over another, you think?
Yep. So I think it plays a big role. And sometimes if you watch people in the wine store, they kind of wander around a bit, am I going for this country or that country, and then kind of narrow in on something they think they might like. But then they kind of get to like a couple of bottles left. They can't quite decide, do I want to go for that one or the other? And when they have those kind of two bottles in their hand, they're looking up, they look at the labels, and then you kind of see them almost weighing the bottles up in their hand, lifting them up and down.
Yeah, exactly. Right, exactly.
That is not going to tell you. That's not going to tell you what the wine tastes like. But what that action does is tell you about any subtle differences in weight. We've weighed every single bottle of wine in the Oxford wine store, 600 bottles, and there we find there is a kind of correlation such that for every extra pound, or what is it, $1.6 you pay for a bottle of wine, you'll get 8 grams more of glass.
Oh.
And that works on cheap wines, it works on expensive wines. So if you're a French producer, you're kind of stuck because you have your kind of your standard bottle shapes. So there's not so much you can do. But if you're a New World producer, California or South America, we see it happening a lot.
Right.
Then what you can do is say, I know that people think things are better in heavier. It can be a Bang & Olufsen remote control will feel better if it's heavy. It can be the car keys for the fancy car that will be weighted to make them feel, you know, more substantial in your hand. Or it can be that bottle of wine. And I've got a collection in my office here of the heaviest wine bottles that we came across. And we have bottles like Catana Zapata from, I think, Argentina, Chile, that weighs about 1.75 kilos empty.
Oh.
And for exactly the same amount of wine in a full bottle, for cheaper wines, it'll be less than a kilo full.
So just this weekend, I celebrated both a birthday and Father's Day this past weekend. And so just this weekend, I went to my favorite wine store. And I almost bought a bottle of wine that I don't like as much because it was heavier.
Mm-hmm. coming back, is this trickery or not? To the extent that probably if you get to pick up the wine bottle, I mean, if the waiter's serving it to you, maybe the weight is lost. But if you're drinking at home, then as I sort of tell my friends, you sort of pick up the bottle and feel the quality. That weight can say it all. And probably if you know how heavy the bottle is because you picked it up, the wine served from that bottle will, generally speaking, taste of higher quality than exactly the same wine.
And this particular bottle is called The Prisoner. And I've had it before, and I know the bottle itself is massive. It's a Napa Valley wine. And I remember thinking to myself, should I get The Prisoner or should I get this other one that I like more? And the idea that I was even considering The Prisoner was because it was just so much more substantial in my hand, even though I knew it was glass that was substantial. It wasn't like I was getting more than 750 milliliters of wine. They were both the same volume of wine. That's so funny.
In a way, it's, just our brains should be advanced enough, evolved enough to be able to separate out what we think about the contents from what we think about the packaging it comes in, and yet we can't. We kind of glue it all together into one experience, and if you know that, then you can think about selling a wine that has more kind of psychological quality or something, and convey that quality through the way. Because you're kind of stuck in a way. You've got a bottle of wine. People can't smell it. They can't taste it before they buy it. Every year, it's kind of going to change a bit, year on year. and hence you kind of you have to communicate through the packaging, and that can be the label, or it can be the weight of the bottle.
Right.
Some winemakers pick this up intuitively, and we're able to kind of do the measurements and the science behind it, and say this is how much it's worth. This is what's out there in the marketplace, and if you weigh this much, then it will be kind of noticeably different to people.
Interesting. Let's take our last commercial break, and when we come back, we'll wrap up the interview. We're talking with Dr. Charles Spence. We're talking about how the environment affects your level of anticipation on how foods and things will taste, and your satisfaction as well. This is amazing. This is. I wouldn't have believed it if you would have told me before this interview. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Highlighting the hypocrisy in government, one meal at a time.
The USDA and the FDA going after small family farms. They're telling these farmers that by selling direct to end users like you and I, because they're outside the jurisdiction of the USDA and the FDA, the USDA says it's dangerous to be buying from these farmers. Really? And we're all thriving buying from these farmers, but the USDA and the FDA said, no, you're wrong. You may not think that because you're not getting sick that something's wrong, but we know there's something wrong.
Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
The 1-2 punch for muscle growth is increased pump and increased intensity. Research shows metabolic changes occur that yield bigger, stronger muscles. Harness the power of agmatine plus carnosine beta-alanine to give your workouts the intensity, pump, and metabolic changes that you'll not only feel but be able to see. Go to superhumanradio.com and use the coupon code SHR to get Prime Nutrition's Ultimate Stack and save 30% off. That's a savings of over $12. Get the most out of your next training session with Prime Nutrition's Nitric Oxide Plus Intensity Stack. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
It's new, it's cutting edge, and it's custom made to get you to Gainesville. The Blueprint Meteoric is here. Meteoric is the final frontier for drug-free athletes. Includes brand new breakthrough information about triphasic energy system training and macronutrient cycling. Specifically designed to transform your physique and record time. For a limited time, get the Blueprint Meteoric for free, along with the legendary Add 1 Inch to Your Upper Arms in a Single Workout when you subscribe to the Blueprint Bulletin. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Blueprint banner ad.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Power Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. We're talking about this fascinating idea that how things look affect how you think they taste or how you think they will taste. But it isn't. It, you know, in the most extreme cases, we know this is true, right? So we see foods that are bland. In fact, the whole reason that the demand for food coloring arose is because people don't want things that aren't vibrant looking and bright and so on and so forth. And we, you know, it may be part of our downfall, quite frankly. Do you see, my fear is you're about to unleash a very, very big power, a very strong power. I kind of feel like it could be used for good or evil. It's like one of those things, you know, like the atomic bomb. You know what I mean? I mean, what you're talking about is an amazing idea that I think is counterintuitive, and it's so strong that it could be used for the wrong reasons. It could be used to get, because we already know that the science of taste has been exploited to get people to eat more and more and more and more. We know that food companies want people to eat more of their stuff. They want them to have addictive qualities because they know that they'll have a customer for life, however short that life will be because they're obese. But now we have yet another thing to manipulate to make people addicted to foods if we're not careful.
Possibly. I think there are different models out there for the big food companies and whether they're all evil. I'm not so sure. And certainly, I think that wouldn't you rather have your customer, if they're brand loyal, living for longer, then they're going to buy more, right?
Right, right.
So the longer you can get your customer to live, the better it is for your long-term sales. Different models there. We're in a sort of situation where government and other regulatory authorities are kind of doing a reasonably good job and sort of getting companies enforcing kind of reduction in salt and reductions in sugar and reductions in fat. But from what I see, in a way, you mentioned this earlier, that many of those food companies are in kind of a bind because they're being told by government you must reduce those unhealthy ingredients in our everyday brands. But when they do it, the consumers are outraged. They fight back saying, what have you done to my favorite brand? It doesn't taste the same. Give me back the original.
Right.
So what do the food companies do? Hopefully, our aim is that by using some of these sort of psychological techniques or ideas or insights, you can leave the perception of favorite brands in a consumer's mind constant, while at the same time reducing some of the unhealthy ingredients.
And if that's the way it's used, I applaud it. I mean, I foresee the ice cream case at my local grocery. Everything will be white and round very shortly because they'll reduce the amount of sugar in it, and they'll have to placate people and make them think it's sweeter than it really is. That would be a wonderful thing.
And a lot of these things are things that any of us can do at home. Next time we're going for the scoop of ice cream.
Yeah.
I think it is that easy. But one thing I should say is that we don't know how long lasting these effects do they last. We know for one dinner or a couple that changing the color or the shape of the plate can have an impact. I don't know yet whether if you buy a whole new set of plateware, whether 5 years down the line it will still be as effective or not. That's a question we haven't been able to address yet. But to the extent of this, I mean, these are things that we can all do at home. It's not like secret technology that only the big companies have access to.
Right.
If you can help yourself to feel fuller while eating less, simply by eating your soup or your yogurt from a heavier bowl, or using heavier cutlery, or by changing the lighting, or by thinking a little bit more carefully about the music that's playing in the background, because that too can make things taste sweeter or more bitter. Then this is, the information's out there. We could all use it. And so the potential benefits for all of us are great.
What about the plate size? And this is something we really didn't talk about because it has been addressed in the past to some degree. Mm-hmm. But recently, Elisa co-hosts the Casual Friday show with me. We went shopping at a place that had a lot of antiques, and we both commented that there was like a set of dishes there that were like 150 years old, and they were for fine dining experience, but they were very small compared to dishes today. When a dish is smaller and there's more crowding of food going on, do we feel like we're eating more?
So it will kind of depend. I mean, maybe it depends on whether it was about 100, 200 years ago. Maybe in those days, it might have been that you were eating, 50 courses of food were kind of laid up on the table somewhere or on the sideboard. Nowadays, certainly if you give people, either you display, say, if you're in a hotel setting, if the, whatever it is, the pasta or the salad is served there on the side in a very big bowl, people will generally serve themselves more than if you present the food in smaller bowls or plateware. Then when it comes to the actual plates, people are loading up themselves, or that are given by by the waiters, say. There, then generally, you know, having kind of a smaller plate will make it appear as though there's more food there than having a huge plate.
Right.
Then the temptation is, it should be full. Why is there so much empty space there? Unless we get to, you know, that brings us back to kind of the very artistic plating with a big canvas with a big plate, then you can start smearing your food all over the place, and there's more room for creativity. Mm-hmm. But generally, kind of that sort of smaller, plates.
I can't wait for your book to come out. I'm looking forward to it, I have to tell you, because I think that this is really the next frontier in the discussion about the way we eat, the way we consume things, the way we perceive what we're going to consume. Mm-hmm. I think it's wonderful work you're doing. I really do.
Thanks. And really, you know, it's kind of shifting the focus in a way from so long. It's been just about the ingredients and the preparation. And sure, that's very important, extremely important. But it's kind of on top of that, trying to bring people's awareness up of just how much importance everything else has.
Right.
The lighting, the music, the smell, the chair, the ambience, the name of the dish, the size of the plate, the weight of the cutlery.
And you know what I just thought of? So I'm going to come out with a diet plate that you have to eat all your meals off of, and I'm going to find the sound that is repulsive to us from our evolutionary background, something that we may not be aware. It could be a sound of some sort of a critter or a cricket, but that we're repulsed by. And every time you eat, that plate will make that sound, so you won't want to eat much, and you'll want to get away from your food. So there you go. I'm going to capitalize on this as well. So there you go. Listen, Dr. Spence, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
That's a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Take care of yourself.
Good day.
Okay. All right, so there you have it. Also want to thank Dr. Craig Banks and Jimmy Bluff for coming on during the first hour. Dr. Banks' website is phoenixbioperformance.com. If you want to get 25% off your kinetic cream there, use the coupon code Bluff for Jimmy Bluff. And Jimmy Bluff's website is jimmybluff.com. If you're out in the California area and you need a good myofascial therapist to help you overcome some injuries, that would be a good place to start. And thanks to Dr. Charles Spencer. And thank you, the listener, who gives me someone to talk to every single day. Those of you out there listening to the show, there would be no show without you. So thank you very much, and we'll see everybody tomorrow.
Asking the hard questions.
Where are the convictions for the drugs that are being used right now that are killing people?
The government is too afraid to answer.
You see all the attorneys.